I've never done this before, other than help my husband out. So anyway, I have to talk a little bit about this in the beginning. This is, I named this title, Count Your Blessings, okay? But it's from that book, A Thousand Gifts, and a lot of y'all have that. Raise your hand if you have read that book or you have it. Okay, I was hoping there were more. But yeah, all right, great. Well, I hope more of you will get it as you have, hear about it more. I've talked to Diane Knight, and I know that's what we were planning or thinking about doing as our women's Bible study on Friday mornings, the daytime Bible study coming up. And I just wanted to give a little, one thing, the reason I came out with Count Your Blessings, as I was thinking, okay, this is not a new concept. There's a song by this name, Count Your Blessings. So this is just kind of, as I said, a modern take on an old song. But my daughter introduced me to the book, but I didn't really know anything about it. But then later on, when Sue McGar mentioned it to me last summer, I said, well, maybe I better get the book. And then I talked to my daughter, and she said, oh, yes, this book is really helping me. And so anyway, that's kind of what got me onto the book. Let's see if I can read this. I believe Donna Lynn and Karen Schultz were the ones that recommended it to Sue McGar. I'm sorry, I can't read my notes. I've been working on this lesson. Pretty much, started reading this book last summer. So I've really been, this has been kind of percolating in me for the last year, okay? But in light of events that we've had in our church in the last week or two, I was thinking this is exactly what God wants us to look at today, and that's being grateful. So one more thing I had to say, I think she's here, Karen McClurklin, where are you? Oh, there you are. Okay. Well, she kind of got me going with, got me this little book that I could put my prayers in. So I started that, and Roxanne Galbraith and Deb Shanks had also, in the past, they are great examples of people that write down their prayers and will pray. You know, so I'd always get them to pray for things, but, I was starting to do that, but when Karen got me that book, I started writing down all my prayers in this little book. And it's real handy. I can put it in my pocketbook. And Sarah mentioned something maybe a year ago or something like that. Just do something different this year. And so I started reading this book and started thinking about, writing down 1,000 things that I'm grateful for. You know, and that was a lot. But then I started thinking about, I'm a math teacher. So, okay, 100 days of 10 things, okay, that's 1,000. I can do that. But after a while, it's like this, it's really good to just kind of savor it, pretty much now I write down one thing, maybe two or three a day if it's a really good day, and I just can't, go without writing two or three things down, but I write something down at least every day, and as we get into this, you'll see, not every day has been a great day. So, but I still, really, it has been very, very helpful to me to try to find something in the day that I can be grateful for, okay? So anyway, all right. Uh-oh, I think I've timed this out again. All right. Another thing that got me thinking about this was Gary Robertson mentioned something in his Galatians class about that men struggle with sin of anger and lust, and women struggle with bitterness and ungratefulness. And I was like, oh yeah, I need to do a class on this. This is going to be perfect. And we do, don't we? And then I remember a sister in the Charlotte church telling me, that it maybe a big key to doing well spiritually is being grateful. Okay? A verse that came to mind was 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It's, be joyful always, pray continually, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I was writing this class down before Barb Collier gave her class in April. But remember, that's what she talked about, was the key to being happy or joyful is being grateful. Okay. Now, this is very personal to me. This is a fire that happened on Memorial Day weekend, Monday, 5:30 a.m. in Laurel, Maryland, May 31st, 2010. And this is from a direct quote from the Baltimore Sun. Two adults were injured in a three-alarm fire that broke out early Monday morning at a Laurel apartment building in Howard County. One person was taken to the Johns Hopkins Hospital and another to Laurel Regional Hospital. The firefighters were called to the apartment fire at 9100 block of Blues Alley at 5:30 a.m. and had the blaze under control in 45 minutes. This is my daughter's apartment complex. And this is where they live. Thank goodness they weren't here. These two people were taken to the hospital. And from what Laura said, they didn't even come home for several months. So this is my daughter, son-in-law, granddaughter, and unborn grandson. It affected us, but I can tell you it really, really affected my daughter, to the point. But the good thing, my daughter's a disciple, and, it took actually several years to kind of work through this. But I was just emailing her this week, and she was talking about, we were talking about the things that have happened in our church, and 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, it was talking about refined by fire, but she said, Lamentations 3, 22 through 26 has been a big part of my life, and let's see if I can read it. No, we read it last week, but it says, because of God's great love for us, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope for him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Okay, and this is a direct quote from her. She said, I've seen God's faithfulness, and I believe he will be faithful with the next thing that comes my way. She has a picture of this fire, a picture on her wall, and it has Psalm 116, verse 5 through 7. Every time people come over to her house, they see, this is what God has brought her through. She is very grateful to God. Something that was awful and life-changing was put in perspective by looking at God's word. So I'm assuming everyone in here has had something, maybe not quite this big, but something that's happened in your life that was kind of life-changing. It could have been awful, but if you've gone through it and come out on the other side, that God can bring you through. And I think that's what she's been saying is that, God got me through the fire. So if he can do that, he can do anything. It's really helped her as a young mother because, she has three children. And no matter whether they're sick or, who knows what goes on every day, there's usually something that happens every day. life happens, right? But she goes back to the fire and says, okay, God saw me through the fire. So, I can get through this, whatever it is. The washing machine breaks, that's probably little things like, they seem terribly big at the time, but they're really, God can get you through that. So I wanted to also read Philippians 4:8. I'm going to change one word, instead of finally brothers. It's finally sisters. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. That's the verse that I taught her when she was young, and it has really helped her through life, and it's helped me too. That's the one I've needed a lot. And isn't it true that thinking positive does produce gratefulness? Okay, one more thing I wanted to mention, going through things in your life. I was thinking about cancer. I've heard people say, and this is hard for me to believe, I guess, but, people say, I'm glad I got cancer because it helped me put life in perspective. Now, I haven't ever had that. I've dodged the bullet several times, thankfully. I haven't gotten it yet. I figure someday I will. My mother is was a double breast cancer survivor, so, I don't have the genes on my side necessarily, but, if that comes, I know God will see me through. And a lot of you have experienced that also. All right. Oh, the other thing I was thinking about this week is because the sessions, Sunny and Carolyn's sessions, grandbaby has had cancer and is inoperable. And please be praying for them and that situation. And I cannot imagine having a grandchild, have that diagnosis and what they're going through. But I've been a disciple for almost 40 years, and I just don't know what I would do if I didn't have God in my life. I think about that. If I have lived my whole life and not had God in my life, what in the world? Who do you have to turn to through these things? All right. Let's see. I have not been keeping up with my slides. Sorry about this. So there's Laura and Nick in the truck. You can't see it. Alan helped me blow it up here. So there's Laura right there. They were sitting in the fire truck. There's their apartment afterwards. Again, thankfully, they lived over here. But that's what was left. There they are now. So, it gets half your time. So this is their third child. All right. So don't we, as women, usually camp out on the negative a lot? Okay. We kind of play these negative tapes over and over in our heads. And another thing I was thinking about is we don't like change. I know I don't like change. So whenever things change, we just go a little haywire here. And I was remembering a time in my life when we left Charlotte in 1994. And I didn't want to leave Charlotte in 1994. I wanted to stay right there. Been there for 17 years. I was quite comfortable. Things were good. But my husband got a job with Florida Power and Light, and we moved to Florida for a year. But I look back to that time now. It has been 20 years ago, hasn't it? But I wouldn't have known Julia Anglin and Julian Burt. I wouldn't have known probably all of you guys from Florida that have kind of moved up because they've said, come on up here to, ACOC and Gwinnett. So, that turned out to be a good time. But at the time, I was kind of fighting it. I didn't want it. But isn't that Satan trying to get a hold of our minds, and try to get us on the negative? Because he knows when he gets us thinking negatively that we'll not do what God wants us to do. In James 4, 7 through 10, remember it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And at the very end of that, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So I was thinking about Chloe's class back in May. You can learn from anyone. Be humble. And Marisabel's class in May, or no, I'm sorry, in July, right? 1st of July. It was supposed to be the end of June. Yeah. But, Marisabel was talking about be humble and pray. So we need to do that. All right. Okay, back to the book. I'm not going to spoil the book for you. I hope you will get it and read it. But, there were a lot of bad things that happened to the lady that wrote this book. It's Anne Boskamp. And number one is her little sister, right? I think it was killed when she was very young. So that kind of scarred her and you know, in a lot of ways made her worry and, you know, just the stuff it brought out. And then also she had her nephew's health, some really bad health problems, and her children's health and accidents, you know, just a lot of things through this book. But the neat thing is when she started writing her 1,000 gifts, she started writing down, and there'd be some really silly things almost, you know. I wrote down a few. Number 245, bare toes in early light. Number 613, paper bag puppet shows. Then some other things are very big, and those of y'all that know me know this is really big. Number 783, forgiveness of a sister. So in September last year is when I started writing my list. Okay, because of my declining health, and I think I already said it because Sarah said we ought to do something different. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do something different. Now, I like to-do lists. I don't know about y'all, but I really like writing things down. I really like crossing them off when I get them done. So anyway, this was really good for me. I didn't know that my life was going to take a lot of twists and turns as the year went on. But anyway, just to give you a few things I wrote down. Number 6 was birds singing in the morning. And number 45, Jesus' sacrifice for my sins. So little tiny things to really big things. You know, I was writing down all sorts of things. My daughter Laura, that I was telling you about, her children, every night before they go to bed, they pray and they write something down in a journal. They write down what they're grateful for before they pray. So I think that's pretty good. So you can get your kids into this too. And then I was telling you about Karen, the book Karen gave me. I write my prayers on one side, and then I flip the book over, and then I write the 1,000 gifts, and I'm up to 500 and something, you know. So I've got another year or so at this rate. But I also put my answered prayers on the grateful list, you know. So they get both places, all right? Okay, this is Abigail, 4th birthday. I think she wants to get to her cake. So it's easy to give thanks when things are going well, right? But how about when they don't go as we expect them to? You know, isn't it tougher to find the good things to be grateful for when you go through trials? And so, of course, James 1, 2, 3, 4 comes to mind. Consider it pure joy, my sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let's see. I brought a variety of Bibles, so sorry about this. All right. Another scripture I want to read is Romans 5, 3 through 5. And this one's really small print. Let's see. Okay, I think I found it. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. I think Richard referred to this at one point, and he said something about that, and I was thinking, you know, yes, suffering and trials do produce character. And he also mentioned they also reveal character. Yeah. So, you know, be mindful of that. But, you know, when you start out in the beginning, you know, and you're going through these trials, you're thinking, you know, I'll never get through this. But, you know, if you've had some years behind it, you can look back and say, I can see how God was working this out. Even at the time, it just didn't seem pleasant at all. Okay, I usually don't go to different versions, but I really like the way this one was in the Message Bible. So this is Luna Our dog is a sad Luna. And this is Matthew 5, 3 through 4. And in the Message it says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God in his rule. You're blessed when you feel you're lost. I'm sorry, when you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. It's like, whoa, that was good. All right, but I am going to read verse 6. Let's see. In the NIV. All right, so we're in Matthew 5, 6. Okay. It's a Korean birthday. They have lots of good stuff. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. So that goes right along after this. I'll read Matthew 5, 3 through 5, 3 and 4 again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about a few of the women's Bible studies we've had on Friday morning. This one was actually at my daughter's house, and this is on the book of James, and Diane and I talked about it, and maybe others. We thought about at one point doing this, but we haven't. Maybe sometime we will. But this is James, Mercy Triumphs. Okay, and it's the same series that we did of the Jonah book, Lifeway. So even if you didn't attend these Bible studies, you know, go back. When you're going through trials, I would suggest you, highly recommend you read James and Jonah. Jonah's good too when we tend to want to run away from God what wants us to do. You know, and in Jonah, just to let you know that if you didn't know, you know, Jonah did not want to do what God told him to do, to go tell the Ninevites to repent, because if they repented, they were just really bad people. They were this, you know, they were the people that were just killing people right and left. And he was like, you know, I guess he was thinking, they don't deserve to repent. I don't want them to repent. But, you know, he finally did do what God did. And even then, he wasn't quite happy about it. He was definitely wrestling with God what he wanted him to do. All right, then another book we did was Grace, Max Licato's Grace book. And then this is not one we've done in the daytime. Whoops, no. Yeah. This is not one that we've done, but it's one I've read twice. And this is Lisa Washington's book. Yay. I love this book. I've read it. I read it the first time really fast through, and that's not the way to read it. It's a lot slower. So last summer, when I was reading the Thousand Gifts book, I was reading Lisa's book, and then pretty soon after that is when my mom got really, really sick. So, you know, it was really good. I think God knew what I needed at that time, and we were studying things in our daytime Bible study that was really good that went right along with it. Oh, okay. All right, so here is last summer, last June, our family reunion. My mom's the one, you probably can tell, in the middle. I'm sitting here with Luna because I'm, you know, can't stand up for long periods of time. I was still pretty sick last summer. So anyway, sometime last summer is when I started writing down my list. And then probably about 2 or 3 weeks after I started writing the grateful list, my sister called and said that my mom was really, really sick. And she thought she was going to die, and we better get up there ASAP, which Alan and I did. We came, and we brought our funeral clothes. And my sister had even said goodbye to her mother because that's what hospice told her to do. So anyway, we went, and, you know, it was a really bad week. She was falling on the floor. She couldn't even hold, you know, water and get food up to her mouth. She was dropping everything, and we were like, what is going on? And then by, I think it was Monday night, you know, I kept trying to push, you know, food, like, you want anything? You want applesauce? No, no. She didn't want anything. And I said, how about bacon and eggs? And finally she said, okay. So I made it. She ate the bacon and eggs. She got better. I was like, it was miraculous. It really was. And I mean, a lot of you got my little text that, like, my mother fell this morning. Please pray. And, you know, that may be why it was so miraculous. I had all these people praying. And she got better. She lived 3.5 more months. And I always call this my icing on the cake. All right, I think... well, okay, I thought the cake was next. Sorry about that. I'm going back to my mom just a minute. One of the big qualities, I was thinking about this today, one of the reasons, one of the things I was thinking about my mom, she was a real grateful person. And there are two things that really stood out to me, especially towards the end, because she told me when, you know, I was the first child, my sister was 9 years younger, but I remember she said, I don't want to ever grow old. I don't want to grow old because I'll lose my teeth. Because everybody she knew was old had lost her teeth. Well, my mom kept her teeth to the very end. So that was good. But she still didn't want to grow old. And she was 92 when she died. So, you know, she didn't get her wish necessarily. But she kept saying, there's a reason God wants me to stay here. Maybe it's to encourage the people. So every hospice nurse that came in, she was like, okay, you know, before you leave, I'm going to give you a blessing or encourage you, you know, before you leave. Another thing that always I knew she was really grateful is, you know, a lot of times Alan and I would stop by in Charlotte on the way to see his mother in Jacksonville, and we'd, you know, spend the night, and that's it. And I said, well, we can't stay a week. We can only stay one night. And she's like, well, I'll take what I can get. And I said, you know, that was the attitude that I watched. You know, especially in the last years, you know, she was just really grateful just to get what she could get, you know. We tried to give her as much as we could, but, you know, we couldn't live there 24/7. Okay, so anyway, this verse really helped me, I think, through the past year or so when she was really sick towards the end, and when I was really sick. And it says, Philippians 4:11 through 13, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right. Back to Anne's little book here. She talks about the word, and I never can pronounce it right. Barb, help me. Eucharistio? Yeah, okay. And it means joy or thanksgiving. Throughout the book, she'll talk about that over and over and over again, kind of goes back to it. But, you know, that was really helpful for me to look through that, you know, and meditate on what I was grateful for every day. Okay. Another thing, if some of y'all remember, I spoke to the women last May. It's been a long time ago, but I talked about serving, and I think serving is linked to gratefulness very much. And I was just thinking about the Browns and just how much I've gotten to look forward to going up and giving them a hug, because if you go up and say, how are you? Let's see if I say it right. Blessed and highly favored by God, and so are you. Thank you. Yeah, Kathy's got it. All right. I was going to read Psalm 100. This is one of the scriptures that I memorized as a young child. That's why it's not in here. I memorized it in King James. So I want to, this is New King James, but it at least is closer to what I memorized. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. And when Elaine Francis, I can't see. Where's Elaine? There she is, yeah. When we were up in Myrna's room, we couldn't find a Bible, so all I could do, it was, you know, at least Jeremiah was like, read some scriptures, and I'm like, well, okay, I can at least, you know, remember a couple, and then finally came up with a Bible, and Bill ended up reading a whole bunch, but this is one of the ones I read up there last week. Another person I was thinking about was serving is Selena Brand. Is she here tonight? I think Tammy's the one that was telling me about her, you know, to remember. And I was like, yeah, at International Sunday, it was so cool to see her passing out. I don't know what she was passing out, probably forks or something. But, you know, just all the people. I was thinking about all the people that served at International Sunday. I was thinking about all the people that have taken meals to people this week. We've had a whole lot of meals. I think 3 or 4 people that have needed meals. So a lot of people have gotten into that. I was thinking about all the people that have visited the sick, especially Myrna over the last long haul, and Brenda Robertson. There are all these things we can do. And I was thinking about the teaching, all you teachers out there, or all you teachers that Glenn needs out there. I don't know about you, but I enjoy teaching so much. I'm hoping I'm going to be healthy enough that I can actually get back in the rotation eventually, because I really want to do that. I love being with those kids, and I know some of you feel that way, and that's why you teach every other time. It's great. But one thing about serving, I think, you know, is it gets you out of yourself. And I even know last week when things were a little bit going crazy, several sisters told me that it helped them to stay busy and to help others. And it does. It makes you feel better when you get out there and serve other people. Okay, I'll time this out again. There we go. Okay. All right, this is us. Oh, yeah, one thing I wanted to talk about, us walking in the woods and everything. You know, this is something we've been doing for years. I think it goes back to Phil and Kay Dawson. And Alan and I, there was a point in time when Alan and I were not getting along very well. And I remember telling Kay, I said, well, when we walk and talk, we do okay. And she says, you must walk and talk then. It's like, okay, I will, yes, all right. So it's helped our communication. It's definitely helped my health. We had to start it over from scratch about 2.5 years ago. I've started keeping a log of it. And when I was at my sickest, we walked around the block. I think Melody and Sherwin were at our house. And that's all I could do was walk around the block. So we've gotten to the point I can walk over 5 miles without sitting on a bench. And that's huge. Because it used to take me 5 benches for 5 miles, but I can do it now. But I still have to sit on a bench at the end of 5 miles. I do. Okay. All right. So we have done a lot of walking, and even more so since Alan retired in March. And y'all have, I'm sure, I've been sending out a lot of those walks. The one thing I wanted to say about that is, you know, the walks have made it onto the thankful list a lot. You know, that seems to be, you know, a kind of recurring theme at the end of the day. It's like, okay, we went on a walk. You know, that was like the highlight of the day. Yeah. So anyway, I encourage you to do that too. You know, walking in nature that God created, definitely has improved my health, and it's just something great. Now, my daughter, Melody, sent me 3 links about how getting out, walking around in nature reduces stress and lowers depression. So if you didn't, you know, think it would help, there's some reason for it. It also, you know, I like free stuff, right? Free vitamin D. Free vitamin D. Okay. And my rheumatologist, which is also Kathy Jordan's rheumatologist, told me 2 years ago when I first saw her, she said, you need rest and exercise. And I thought, you are crazy. How can you do both? And I knew I needed rest. I didn't think I needed exercise. But it has worked. And I guess, from the studies Melody sent me, we did the right kind of exercise. We got out. Doing exercise indoors is okay, but get out there and get some of that sunshine. God meant for us to be outdoors doing things. So anyway, something that was bad, my health here, has turned into something good by walking and improved health. Okay. During the sickness picture, but this is, I'm getting better, with a grandchild. So, anyway, okay. So, life is not a piece of cake, right? It's hard. Life is hard. But what you need to be doing is looking for the icing on your cake. It's kind of Lisa's, a little take on Lisa's book, trying to find the silver lining in a dark cloud, okay? Look for the icing all around you. Look for that silver lining in the cloud. God is great, and He will see you through if you stay close to Him, especially when things are just going crazy around us. And just remember, this too will pass, and might take 10 years, might take 20 years, but somehow, you can look back and say, okay, God knew what He was doing. This was not easy, but I got through it. Another scripture that really has been good for me is Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But whatever was my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings and becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. And if you think about Paul's life, I didn't even pull that out, but you think about all that list of things, he was shipwrecked, he was about killed several times. He went through an awful lot in his life, but he could say this, and we should be able to say that too. And then somehow on the way over here to church tonight, I was thinking about that little saying, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Hold that in your head too. Okay. All right. So, be grateful. This is the doggy. She doesn't like it when her parents leave the house, so that's what she's very unhappy at this point. But, we all need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. Stay close to God. Pray. And start writing your list. If you haven't started writing a list, even if you haven't read this book, you can write this list. And most of you have prayer lists, I would hope. But start writing things down that you're grateful for. And it doesn't have to be extensive. You can just do one a day. Another thing I was thinking about is you could write it on your calendar, one a day. You can do what Christy and a bunch of sisters do. They email, or I don't know if they're still doing it. Well, but they were doing it. You could do this. Just email around your close sisters what you're grateful for each day. But do something and serve God out of a grateful heart. So a question here is, how are you showing your gratefulness to God? And get out there in nature and do something fun and take somebody else along with you. And don't forget that the fields are white with harvest, right? And so anyway, at the very end here, I've got this song. And if you've been around a long time, you've probably heard it. I'm not going to leave it. I will read the words. It's called Count Your Blessings. So it's kind of an old one. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy, your call to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and goal, think of Christ. Think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven or your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to the journey's end. So, I hope this has been helpful to you. I wanted to say thank you, since this is a grateful class, to some people that really helped me get this together. Sister up here is now was in Charlotte when it was a campus student when we were first in Charlotte, and she stayed with us as we kept a whole bunch of campus students over the years in our basement. And she's a teacher also, so I sent her this class among, and several of you got this class to look at, but she sent it back and she said, you need to have a PowerPoint. Now, she's a teacher, remember? And I was like, we don't do PowerPoints on Thursday women. The technology doesn't always work. And so before I had a chance to email her back and say, we don't do PowerPoint, I'm not going to do a PowerPoint, she sent me a 15-slide PowerPoint and said, here, you can get started with this. So I was like, okay. So that's Priscinda Jones. And then I have to thank all the people, the photography, you know, my son-in-law, my husband. I think actually one of those pictures was mine, too. Noe. The last one was Noe. Of course, Andreas and Moose. All right. And these are a lot of the people that helped me get this class together. I had an army of people to help with this class. So thank you very much, everybody. So I want to thank y'all.